Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz, episode 23, the Yahoo User Interface Library. This show and the entire TWiT broadcast network is brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thanks. It's time for Floss Weekly, and ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the host of Floss Weekly, Randall Schwartz. You need a
theme song.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, good to talk to you again. That's a great intro. That's cool. You know, almost as good as what you do for Dick DiBartolo. It's
exactly,
great.
Yeah. We're going to do a little show business because we're going to talk about making your web page sing.
Well, more than sing, I mean, and more than just a web page, we're talking about the Yahoo User Interface Library, commonly called UE. I first came across this about a year and a half ago when they were first announced. I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And as a disclaimer, I was working for Yahoo at the time, and I'm no longer working there. But I saw that this thing would make it easier, at least I thought, looking at it, it would make it easier for me to build interactive websites. Now, I'm not smart about JavaScript. I'm slowly pawing my way through it, trying to get things to work.
It's a god-awful language. It's terrible.
Well, it's the hard part is, like, it's all happening in the browser in real time, and it's kind of hard to get my hooks into the right place. It's not like the other languages I'm used to using, so it's a little tough. What I saw, though, was that I could build nice tabbed bars and menus and in a way that just be way beyond what I could do sort of on my own. That I
so
could
it's
use
a, it's a library that you – I mean, it's for people who program – there's things like CPAN. There are these libraries of routines that you can call, and that's essentially what this is, right?
Yeah, it's a collection of JavaScript and CSS and HTML files that allow me to describe a presentation and provide some interactivity for, say, an interactive website. I mean, suppose you had, for example, a mail reader, like one of the ways that Yahoo uses it for the Yahoo Mail. So, like, you want to create a new message, you say click on that, and the new message just sort of fades in the top. So it's like some animation to it. And this is really cool because it means it sort of feels more like a desktop app, even though really it's running in the web browser. And so what UE lets me do is sort of do all that stuff without having to think about that. More importantly, it also lets me do it cross-browser because I know that they really work hard on making sure it works on more than one browser. So I can only test it on the browsers that I have access to, but they can test it on a lot of different browsers. So makes it really cool for that. And so I'm really excited by UE. I've been using it in some of the projects I've been working on. I've done a little bit with the animation tool and a few other things. So
you have used this.
Yes, I've used UE. I definitely have used UE on some previous projects already. Yes.
Oh, neat. And is it kind of a big old hairball of a thing to plug into your applications? Or
I mean, no, it kind of comes in little pieces. So it's kind of cool. You could say, well, I want just the ability to do auto completion, which means filling out a particular tabbed field, be able to type a few letters and have the rest fill in automatically, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or you can kind of bring in like the whole shebang if you want things like, say, a rich text editor where you type text in and you have like bold and italic buttons and things like that. So you can kind of bring it in as you need it. And I was just using it to do some simple JavaScript XHTML calls that we'd normally call those AJAX calls. So I was doing that with some of the stuff from UE, and I tell you, the thing that made me happy is that once I was done using it with my browser Safari, which is my browser of choice, I knew that exact same code would run on just about every major browser out there, and I wouldn't have to individually test it. I just knew it would work, and it's great because, you know, how you do AJAX depends on the browser. The JavaScript is actually different from browser to browser, and these guys have done a great job at hiding all that behind the scenes.
Well, we've got a Yahoo front-end engineer and designer, Nate Keckley, who actually contacted you asking about if he could talk about this, right?
Well, you know, that's the great thing about this show now is apparently it's getting downloaded by more than three people.
Yay!
Because I've been getting email probably about once every couple of weeks. Somebody writes me and says, you know, you've covered this and this and this and this on Floss, what we'll call it, weekly. How about this.
Right.
And I go, great, because that means my producer job is so much easier, and I can just bring them to you like on a platter.
Nate writes for the Yahoo Interface blog. It's ueblog.com. And he also has his own blog at nate.keckley, K-O-E-C-H-L-E-Y.com, where he writes about web developer stuff, design stuff, and a lot of cool stuff, actually. He's a well-rounded person. We got him on the phone to get a little more information on UE. So maybe just to make it, because I'm sure we'll butcher this, Nate, but can you give us a description of what UE is?
Sure. Basically, it's a JavaScript library, a set of utilities and widgets and controls to make it easier, basically to wrangle browsers into some decent shape.
And people seem to be using it for Ajax, kind of in the way they would use Scriptaculous or Prototype.
Exactly. Yep. Scriptaculous, Prototype, Dojo, jQuery.
These are all libraries of JavaScript routines to simplify using Ajax, basically.
That's exactly right. Ajax is one component. We also do a lot of DHTML things that don't necessarily have an Ajax component, which is the communication component.
I was impressed by how easy it was to do things like add CSS tabs to a web page. It really simplifies it.
Glad to hear that. We try. Right. So we have a core collection of utilities for normalizing a lot of the low-level things, events and DOM manipulation. And then, like you alluded to, there's a growing collection of more graphical widgets, tabs, and things like that.
Are more and more of these going to be built into things like Drupal and WordPress to make it easy for even non-developers to kind of start using these tools?
Definitely. We've just in monitoring how people are adopting it, trolling blogs and looking around, we see it integrated with just about every server language and a lot of CMSs like Drupal and some others. A series of WordPress plugins. We've been really flattered with the adoption.
It's always a good sign when you see the community adopt something like this. But this is not new, and I'm just learning about it. And I'm sure some of our listeners are. But this is, how long has UE been around?
We released it coming up on 2 years ago, February 06. We'd been using it and developing it internally for maybe a year prior to that. But we open sourced it, released it to the world February 13th, 06.
See, to be commended for that. That's really great. So these
what
are the tools. Go ahead.
What was the decision like process involved in getting it internally to be released open source? Were you in on those decisions?
Yeah, it was. It took a long time. A lot of us developers don't spend a lot of time in the political world like that. But we met with all of our lawyers and various teams around the company to make it happen. It was one of the largest and first open source contributions that we've made here. It made a lot of sense to me because, in a way, if you hit view source, it's all right there anyway. So we might as well kind of package it up.
You could obfuscate it, but
But the clever people can still get at it. It's sent over the wire,
right?
As opposed to a server side thing. So it was already out there, and we wanted to. Well, we did it for a bunch of reasons, but it was a long process to get it done politically and to get all the legal pieces in place. But we were really happy we prevailed.
Now, did this result because you had like a lot of separate groups all sort of creating this stuff independently, and you just wanted to bring that effort together and make it unified?
To some extent, yes. We had we acquired Oddpost, which is now which turned into our current Yahoo Mail. And so that brought a lot of DHL expertise to the company. And also more than the expertise, really the expectation that we'd have these richer interfaces, richer tools for our users. And so a lot of teams had a need for this. And the work's not easy to, like I said, get all the browsers to behave. And,
oh, God.
And so we wanted, it was an efficiency play and also just trying to give people a leg up.
What browsers do you support?
We support... Well, in conjunction with the release of YUI or UE, we also published for the first time our notion of graded browser support, which lists which ones we support at which level of support. So now YUI works for all what we call A-grade browsers, so IE, Firefox, Opera, Safari, across all the platforms. So we test on about 22 different browser OS combinations.
Now, this is one of the great things about Yui is that if I was sitting down with my book of DHTML and my book of CSS and my book of how to program in JavaScript and writing from scratch, I would have to do that same 22 browser testing to get the kind of thing that you've already given to me for free, right?
That's right. You put this on the page and, you know, like you mentioned TabView before, you put one of those widgets on your page and it'll work across all those browsers, about 98% of the audience. The other 2% being those people that don't support JavaScript or CSS.
So it doesn't work on links.
100%. It doesn't, but we have a progressive enhancement strategy so that we don't obscure the content from those users.
Ah,
so they can still get at everything.
That's just what you want, of course. You want it to degrade well and eliminate all the work that you have to do as a developer to make this stuff cross-platform is just insane.
And the other thing
I was pretty happy when we... go ahead.
And the other thing that's exciting about that is that I know that, you know, presuming Yahoo is in business for the foreseeable future, that, you know, when they bring out Safari 4, thinking that that's probably going to be an A-grade browser, my code will still continue to run on Safari 4 as long as I keep up refreshing from your latest release, I presume.
That's right. As long as you're using the latest versions, we bind all those, you know, to different browser releases. So we'll support the modern version of YUI. I'll support the modern array of A-grade browsers.
And in fact,
we've seen as browsers have standardized increasingly, you know, there's dozens of other browsers out there, or hundreds actually, that work just perfectly also, even though we don't do rigorous testing for all of those kind of X-grade browsers.
So, Nate, what were you working on when this came along at Yahoo?
Prior to joining this team at its inception, I was working on the platform design team at Yahoo, trying to standardize just the visual design and the interaction model for a lot of our widgets across the company.
So you've had to tussle with these issues all along.
I've been a front-end engineer at Yahoo for just over 6 years now. So
you must have been happy when this came along.
Yeah, it's a nice project.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest change in browsers in the past 6 years?
Oh, man.
IE6.
Yeah, that was about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that's older than 6 years now.
Good Lord.
When we were able to downgrade IE 5.0 and 5.5 to no longer consider them A-grade browsers.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
One nice thing about having kind of a standards-based approach and the way these browsers, rendering engines are becoming much more consistent internal to the brand and also consistency across the brands is that if you fire up some of our drag and drop examples, or many of our examples, on your cell phone using the Opera mini browser, you can actually squint in there with the stylus and drag and drop things around on a mobile phone. So we don't vouch for that capability, but it's nice to see as we normalize these things that support's just ever growing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, more than just being a library like Scriptalicious, you're also providing basic HTML widgets as well for just, you know, like not even like interactive programming, but just kind of having nice layout. What's that about? What's that like?
Right. So we've got a growing collection that we release a bunch of new. There seems to be a new widget or control in every release we do. We just, in the last 2 weeks, released a bunch of new button controls. And these are really just visual and interaction enhancements for core HTML elements. So you can take an unordered list and a bunch of paragraphs, and once you point our library at it, you can transform that into a really nice interactive tab control. So in addition to all the JavaScript normalization and giving more power to the browsers, we're also trying to provide an interface language for people to build websites with. And unlike some of the other libraries, we actually offer a bunch of CSS tools also for doing really easy page layouts and generating really kind of consistent and stable foundation for whatever development you happen to be doing.
Like the reset and the fonts and the grids thing. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. So those three make up our core CSS foundation. YUI reset basically neutralizes the CSS that ships with each browser. Each browser defines the margin around an H1 is slightly differently. And so we go in and we neutralize all of that so that you're confidently building upon like a really stable foundation.
And that's CSS. driven web designers mad for years, because they'd have to say, well, on IE it needs this little extra thing, or on Safari it needs this little minus a few things, and so you're basically getting rid of all that differences, right?
Right. Exactly right. And CSS, you know, it builds upon each other, it cascades. That's the C. And so if you have these micro differences at the very lowest level, they impact the rest of the work you do. So we thought it was important to provide that level playing field. And then from there, we build up CSS fonts as a precise typographical control. And then grids is an easy way to do about 1,000 different multi-column page layouts that work across all these A-grade browsers right out of the box.
I'm happy to see that some of those are 100%. You know, I hate it when I've got an extra wide browser window and it doesn't take advantage of that.
Yeah. A bunch of them are 100%, and even the ones that aren't are defined in relative units, so that as you increase your font size, if you're further from the screen or in a presentation or forgot your reading glasses, the page zooms so the text doesn't get crunched in there.
Now, how much of this is driven by the community now that you've opened this up to the world?
We have a public... our project's distributed on SourceForge, and we maintain bug trackers and feature request trackers there. And we also have a big mailing list where we talk to the community, interact. And so we definitely, we've got a lot of great support from those avenues. We listen to what features people want to hear next. We try to balance out. We end up hearing the same thing from the public that we hear from a lot of our internal teams. But there have been some things we've added based on public demand.
It's great to have something that's being used by the same people who are shipping this thing, because you guys live with it, so you're going to respond to the needs. But it's also nice of you to include the public in it. I mean, there's really... But what is Yahoo? How, from a corporate point of view, we talked a little bit about this, the process of getting it open sourced, but... Mm-hmm. Why is Yahoo doing this, and why are they being so open about it? I mean, this is kind of valuable intellectual property, this whole thing.
Sure. Well, my favorite story is literally within, I think, 2 or 3 or 4 hours of releasing this last year, we got a really edge case, gnarly bug report from a developer in Germany. And we rolled that into the library. And so on day one, the library got better because of the public participation. So that makes our work better. That makes our sites better. It gives better tools to everybody. So that's one practical reason. There's some corporate reasons you can think about. It doesn't hurt recruiting.
No
it
kidding.
It doesn't hurt training.
A lot of goodwill, right?
We're having a really, I think the industry as a whole is starved for really proficient front-end engineers now. And so by giving them tools like this, I think we hope to play a role in elevating the entire discipline, which will, you know, eventually trickle down to us.
Right.
So taking the long view, and again, for the participation, for more eyes on it, for more good ideas coming in, more patches being submitted, a bunch of good reasons. It's been a win-win.
I like your story about the developer in Germany giving you feedback. That just really is, you know, we harp over and over again the value it can be to open source stuff for even what would formerly be proprietary software. And this kind of feedback is exactly what people need to hear about that are actually success wins for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was great. You know, this stuff, everything, developing software for the browser is so complex that, again, the more eyes you can get on it, the better. But it was really great to have such a tangible instance happen right off the bat.
Now, you mentioned some of the other JavaScript things at the beginning, like prototype and stuff like that. How do you see yourself as comparing to that, or do you see yourself as superseding that, or are you covering everything that they cover already and then some, or where are you at on that scale?
There's a bunch of overlap. It's a great time to be doing this work at all, where, you know, we work closely with some of those groups, definitely pay attention to what they're doing. There's a lot of kind of cross-pollination of ideas and of approaches. It's definitely not a competition. You know, they're all great. You have to look at what your team needs, what your project needs, when you're choosing which library to use, if any. So we wish them all the best. And in some cases, we've seen overlap and even interoperability. Some of the Dojo folks made a loader that uses the Yahoo loader to help load Dojo components.
Oh, that's neat.
The EXT library, you can swap out the core utilities. So all of his widgets, that library's widgets, will work with the YUI core or the jQuery core or the prototype core. So that's the short answer, I guess, is it's definitely not a competition, although some people try to frame it that way. We enjoy talking to all the other developers out there and just all kind of working together to make the world a little bit of a better place for a developer to be. It's hard enough doing this browser stuff as is, so we need all the people on deck we can get.
Do you know how many? Yep. Do you know how many total tools there are?
Oh, that's a good question. I've seen some lists with hundreds.
Wow.
It depends on kind of how you define it, I guess. I think there's probably about 6 or 8 that get, you know, that are kind of top of mind. And we're happy to be counted in that
people
good company.
People use all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many, actually, I meant about Yui, how many different widgets and tools and...
Oh, sorry.
That's nice of you to include the competition in there, but I was actually talking about Yui.
Let's see. I think we've got about 15 widgets and about 10 or 12 utilities. So it's about 35 members in the library, I guess.
Can you talk about some of the most popular so people get an idea of some of the features?
One of my personal favorites is the autocomplete widget. It's a really configurable, flexible control for doing type ahead or you know, auto-completing either, you know, search suggest or using it for navigation. And from a design perspective, I have kind of a split background, interested in design. Also, when you think about interaction design and the way humans interact with these interfaces, the most powerful tool you can give them is language itself. And so prior to being able to do an autocomplete widget on your site, if you think about a sports site, if you want to find a particular soccer player, you have to pick the league and then click down to the team and then click down to the position and then sort through the alphabetical list to get to somebody. And now with autocomplete, you know, the user just starts typing and one click later, they're at the information they wanted.
And what a pain to implement that would be.
It is. There's a lot of quirks. And so we've created the autocomplete widget, which will accept just about any type of data. You can give it XML, you can give it JSON, you can give it HTML. And then it has a bunch of configurations. If you want to do type ahead, if you want to do completion, if you want to do comma separated matching, a bunch of different types. So we try to build in all the main options people need. We work closely with our design team here to anticipate, you know, how it'll eventually need to end up, and then put all those hooks in place and expose all those interesting moments that implementers then can code their applications to.
And you could
see autocomplete's a great one.
Yeah, you could complete both from stuff you already sent to the browser and also by doing hits on every keystroke or every like certain delay on a keystroke, right?
Right, yeah. You can set it to it'll work off local data or it'll work off AJAX or data that you can optionally cache locally. And you can set it to update that data set either on every key press or on every sequence or only after the first couple. A lot of different configurations.
I mean, obviously, updating it every keystroke would be nonsense over the internet, but say for an intranet application, that might actually be pretty useful, huh?
For an intranet application, or maybe after, you know, the first 3 keystrokes or the first 2, then you pull down a big data set and then cache that locally and then update it every character after that.
Cool.
So autocomplete's great. We've had a lot of adoption of our calendar widget. There's quite a few airline sites out there now that are using our calendar just to make date selection a lot easier for users.
That's also another point to do this is the standardization you get. If I kind of get to know this calendar and how it works, it's nice to see it across many sites.
And everything's skinnable, so the interaction model stays pretty consistent, but the visualization of the widget or of the control can take on, you know, Southwest Airlines or JetBlue or anything, Ticketmaster, who knows.
Do you have the international starts on Monday option?
Sure do.
Cool.
Sure do. Yeah, you can set it to include weekends, not include weekends, sort by week, start at whichever day of the week you want. And we have a bunch of examples on our website showing it in German, showing it in Japanese, showing it in Chinese.
That drove me crazy on Doppler.com for a while, having to start on Monday. I kept getting the dates off by one.
Yep.
Nice to be able to customize. What are some of the other widgets or controls people seem to like?
Well, one we're pretty proud about is the rich text editor, which gives you, it turns a normal form text area you know, generally a plain text entry into a really rich text editor. So you, you know, you can do your boldness and change font face and size and underline and embed images and resize images. And that was a pretty one of the toughest things to get the browsers to do. Safari and Opera particularly had some pretty tough engineering behind the scenes there. So we released that in beta a cycle ago, and we're getting some feedback on that still to make it a little bit better. But that's really nice to be able to give users that, you know, let them express themselves in a richer way than they've been able to do online before.
Right.
Can you walk across the street and get Box.com to use that, please?
Please, please, please.
Feel free to send in my name.
So just from a point of view, a pure implementation point of view, I would include the code. How big is the library?
Well, we've taken a couple things to say about file weight and the size of the library. Obviously, we're, as a company, really concerned about performance and don't want any unnecessary overhead. And so the entire library is a la carte with a really shallow dependency tree. So if you need... if you're doing autocomplete and you don't need the AJAX controls, if you're only going to be using local data, then you don't need to include the AJAX library. You just include our core utilities.
How big are those?
Which weigh in at about 12K over the wire. Nice.
Okay.
And then the particular pieces you need. So it lets people kind of pick and choose and just get the footprint they need. The other thing I'd say about that is that we release all of our files in three different flavors. And people sometimes overlook this when they're looking at the library. The first version is fully documented. We have tons of comments right in line with the code, which we use to do like a Java doc style API, generated API documentation. So the files themselves are really large because they've got all this information in there. We also ship a minimized version, which has all that stripped out, all the lines stripped out, and is really lightweight to use in a production environment. And then we also ship a debug version, which has a lot of logging comments and error debugging tools included in the code. So in a development environment, you know, you would use either the fully documented one or the debug version and then toggle to the minimized version when you went to production to really shrink down the file size.
I think the other the other thing that's really interesting is that you can also use the direct URL. Because that means if I go from site to site, I'm only loading it once because I've only loaded that URL once.
That's exactly where I was headed. We host everything on our servers. And you're welcome to, the world's welcome to point directly at our servers, which are an edge caching network distributed around the world, highly optimized for serving static content like CSS and JavaScript and images. So you get the caching benefits across sites that are using the same files. Or if you know you came to Yahoo and then you went to another site and then you went to another site, you'd already have those files cached. Plus, they're really performance servers dedicated to doing this kind of delivery. Plus, they're geo-located close to the customer. So you really get a lot of speed benefits by taking advantage of that. Some people worry about that setup. They think that we're going to change the files out from under them. But in those URLs are the version numbers themselves. Oh, so you can always be precise about which version of the file you're posting at, you're pointing to. Those will be there indefinitely. So you choose when to upgrade. We don't have the capability to change anything out from under you as an implementer.
That's really good. Sounds like
That was our birthday present last year. We announced that on our first birthday last February.
And it's needless to say, because it's free to use, and the license. Which open source license are you using?
It's under the BSD license.
Oh, a very liberal license. That's great.
Yep. Yeah, you can use it for anything. Anybody can use it for anything.
I see you also have a UE test utility. What's the test utility about?
All right, that's one of our newer ones. We released that a couple months ago. It's a test framework for writing unit tests, JavaScript unit tests, and then automating that testing. We ship all those tests with our distribution, so you can go in there and look and run the tests yourself. And in fact, some of the browser vendors are using those test suites as a pre-release test to make sure they don't have any regressions in their releases. But it's just a unit test framework for doing test-driven development of JavaScript. And in our release 2 weeks ago, we released a profiler utility, which lets you run performance tests on your JavaScript and predicate the success or failure within the unit test framework based upon that performance. So you can cause a test to fail if something's slowing down too much. pass whatever, place you set that at.
I can hear JavaScript developers all over the world go, yay.
No, it's great. There's not really a lot of tooling for the JavaScript industry. And these were two that we needed. We also have a logger tool, which, most of us are developing on Firefox using the brilliant Firebug extension. But for other browsers, or for browsers that don't have that installed, you can use our own logger utility to pipe interesting messages to a logger so you don't have to keep typing alert all day long.
And what's this about an animation utility? What's animation about?
The animation utility has a couple neat hidden features. We tried setting our initial pass, our initial build of that had things based on frame rate. So you'd say, take 10 frames to animate this across the screen. But we found that a lot of browsers, they varied quite a bit in how fast they were processing that. And so we actually rewrote it to be time-based by default. So now you can say take 1 second. And so even though the browsers still vary greatly in how fast they can do things based on a number of factors, we do a bunch of continual calibration inside the utility. And so if something's taking too long, we'll drop a few frames, or if it's going too fast, we'll add a few frames there. So you have really precise control over how long something's going to take, making sure the user has time to notice and respond. I mean, usually those animations are for visual affordances, the yellow fade technique, or to remind somebody where a panel collapsed to, so they know where to get it again. And so now you have really granular control over just how long that'll take. The other cool thing about that utility is we built in a bunch of Bezier algorithms. And so now you can do Bezier curves. You can use Bezier math to do acceleration and deceleration to give some really nice kind of easing effects instead of the really, mono speed, really kind of jarring animations.
So you can make like a bouncing ball that actually looks like a bouncing ball.
Right. You can have something ease into place, bounce around. Yeah. We're not trying to redo the whole, 1999 days of skip intro splash screens, but we found that a lot of, interfaces can be a lot more comfortable and usable with just a little bit of, reinforcing animation.
Very cool.
I think we've sold everybody on it. everybody's been downloading it as they're listening, I have a feeling. Where do you get it?
The home base for YUI is it's part of the developer network at Yahoo. So developer.yahoo.com/YUI.
Do I need to sign up for anything or?
Nope, it's all free. Just right there. Have at it. No, you don't need anything for anything. There's a download link there that'll route you over to SourceForge to grab our distribution. We also maintain a blog, yuiblog.com, where you can hear about our releases and some of the inner workings of the team and what we're thinking about. We also take the time to point at a lot of implementers around the world that are doing interesting things or building interesting projects using YUI. So there's a lot of interesting material there. On the site, if you're just getting started with YUI, we've got documentation in quite a few different flavors, hopefully something for everybody. If you're coming from a traditional backend world and you're used to sort of API documentation, we've got a completely searchable API, automatically generated API documentation with every method and parameter and configuration. There's also, if you're on the other end of the spectrum and you just need a quick refresh, we've got a cheat sheet for every widget that you can print out that kind of lists the key things you need to know. Not everything, but the most common methods, the simple use case, what the constructor signature looks like. So I walk around the office here and you see a lot of people with those taped up on their cubes just as a quick reference. And then we've got everything in between. We've got a bunch of step-by-step articles and tutorials and video broadcasts with engineers kind of walking you through it step-by-step. So we've really put a lot of work in the documentation and in addition to the 230-plus examples that are on the site.
I've got to say, this is probably one of the best documented JavaScript and HTML libraries I've ever seen.
Well, my boss, Thomas Shaw, says it's not done until it's documented. And as much as we kick and scream, that's how it is.
So. You wish you didn't have to.
It's been great, yeah.
Now, without giving specifics, obviously, because I don't think you can, this is going to continue to be developed and enhanced in the future, I presume.
That's right. We get we just had a release 1 or 2 weeks ago. We release fairly frequently, every couple of months. And yeah, there's a dedicated team at Yahoo working on this 24/7, as well as the public also contributing their insights. So yeah, it's not going anywhere. Just about every project at Yahoo uses some or all of the library. It's a key part of our infrastructure now, and we're still working hard on it.
Are you still migrating projects over from other libraries to this, or?
Well, when we set out to build a library, we had kind of two use cases in mind. One was incremental enhancements. So if you just had a website and you just wanted to add autocomplete, the library, sort of with its a la carte nature, really facilitates that. You can just go in and add one little nicety to your site. And it also has the potency to support a full-fledged, rich internet application development from the ground up. So we really tried to support both audiences. And we've seen that same pattern inside here. We've got some sites built from scratch using just about the entire library. We've got other products at Yahoo that are, you know, still just pulling in bits and pieces.
Cool.
So all over the map.
Cool.
Neat. Well, I encourage people to check it out. Y-U-I. Yui. Yui.
Yui.
And I think that the word's getting out. I mean, obviously a lot of developers are using it. I've seen some amazing things done with Yui. It's nice to have a standardized interface that everybody can use for users too, because we look at it, we go, oh, I know this calendar, I know this, I understand how this works.
When you talk about users, I'll point out one other thing, if you let me. We have in some of the controls that have much more complex interactions, another type of documentation is really for designers, and we call these interesting moments matrices. So if you think about all the things that are happening in a drag and drop interaction, you've got a bunch of different actors, you know, the cursor and the dragged unit and the drop zone. And then you've got a bunch of different moments, you know, when I'm over a valid drop target, when I'm over an invalid drop target, when I'm halfway there. And so we've got these storyboards that people can use to team up with their designers and think about exactly how this should happen. So you're sure that you're really addressing each moment in the interaction and the users never get left high and dry.
Wow.
So we've worked really closely with our design team to come up with quite a few of those. There's a great one for autocomplete and drag and drop and quite a few of the others.
Is that part of your patterns library or is that something different?
A lot of that work came out of the pattern library work. The Yahoo Design Patterns Library is kind of a sibling project, and there we're trying to really standardize the interaction and how people, different design patterns for the web, what's the best way to make things discoverable, what's the best way to do navigation. So there's quite a bit of overlap. They're not totally in sync yet. We've got code for things without patterns and vice versa. But all of our development is really informed by our huge design team here. So we've got a lot of those insights built in.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate it, Nate. It's good to talk to you. And thanks for filling us in on what's up with Yui.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Good night.
That's Nate Keckley of Yahoo. He's in the, I have his bio here. He's in the, I think the front end. I love the name. He's in the front. He's a front end engineer and designer. I guess it means he designs websites, right?
That or he works on the grill that's on the radiator. I'm not sure.
That could be it also. And he is, you know, obviously a great evangelist, if not, you know, as well for Yui. But I don't think you have to evangelize too much. I mean, the idea of adding these great, you know, kind of interactive features to your website is very appealing to designers. But most designers aren't going to take the time. I mean, you're a super pro programmer. And even you, JavaScript is a little daunting.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is great that this is out there. And it sounds like it's a pretty broad spectrum of tools as well. So people can build some really interesting, rich websites that will also work apparently into the future, which is even better.
And of course, the reason we're having him on, or we've had him on the show is because it's open source, which I really, again, have to commend Yahoo for doing. They use the BSD license. That's, as I understand, a pretty liberal license.
Yeah, pretty much says you can just take it, and all we want is for you to think kindly about us.
You don't even have to credit them in your site or anything like that?
There is one comment in the JavaScript that's, and it says you must leave this in here, but it just basically says copyright 2007 Yahoo, rights used by permission or something like that. It's very, very short, so it doesn't even add much to the page download time.
Right, and nobody will see it unless they look at the source, although it's probably good to have that there because if somebody's really impressed by all the stuff you're doing, they can look at your source and say, oh, it's Yui.
Yeah, it's not really me. It's Yui.
I played a little bit with Scriptaculous and a prototype because I love having Ajax on a page. I mean, just really love the idea. But what's nice is having a company as big as Yahoo behind this. You know it's going to be developed. It's going to be supported. It's going to continue to work on all browsers. For quite some time to come. So.
And it's well documented, I tell you. I mean, I wasn't kidding when I said this documentation is superb. I mean, lots and lots of examples. I don't think he mentioned that, but lots and lots of examples. So you can go in and just play with these things and go, that's the kind of tab thing I want. I was working with a designer that's working on the Geek Cruises site for Neil Bauman. And I was going through the demos going, do you want this? And he goes, no, is there something that goes vertical? I go, so I just immediately went to the vertical demo. It's like, do you want this? Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we want. So, I did something with an accordion expand contract stuff. It was great stuff because I could show the designer who's not a programmer, the different examples real quick without having to construct them myself, and then I could communicate with the designer directly. Yeah. So that was really him.
Yeah. Really neat. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thrilled that we could talk a little bit about this, and thanks to Nate and Yahoo for coming on and creating this great tool. It's really cool.
Definitely.
And thanks to you, my friend, for joining us once again and bringing us such great content. You know we love Floss, and we're looking forward to another great year of open source software and shows.
And I got a couple of people already in the queue waiting to get the finalized dates set up, and so we'll be recording one of these again soon.
Randall Schwartz is the author of a brand new Perl book, I might add. I read it on the plane. I'm loving it. It's called Pearls of Wisdom.
You can't remember, but you remember it. Read it. Okay, great. Yes, Pearls of Wisdom. Yes,
I remembered it. Pearls of Wisdom. I paused for 1 second. That's just age. When you're my age, Randall, you'll understand.
I understand already.
Pearls of Wisdom.
It's the best columns I've written, which out of the 255 I've done, this is about 60 of them. And it's bound in nice little containers so that you can read them at your leisure. One of my friends likes to say that they're exactly the right length to read while he's performing a function in the smallest room of his house.
Well, I don't know. Headstands? I don't know. Anyway, it's great. It's great fun to read. And it's a good book. And it's from, is it O'Reilly?
No, it's an A-Press book.
A-Press, that's right. A-Press does some great stuff. Pearls of Wisdom, I think this is his 13th book now. Something like that.
I've lost track. It's so many now.
So many. And you can find him at stonehenge.com. That's where his Perl-based consultancy, although now I think it's probably, we should say, Perl and Squeak-based consultancy lives.
Absolutely. Working on the Seaside, the web development application we talked about a couple times ago. And also this week, I think, or maybe next week, depending on when this actually goes out, I will be on another Geek Cruise. I've got three cruises in a row in January and February. So I'm probably right now somewhere out at sea.
Where are you going this time, and what's the cruise about?
Oh, my God. Let's see. Well, there's a photography cruise, a chess cruise, and a Scientific American cruise where the entire staff is PhDs. I'm going to feel really underpowered on that one.
God, this is fun. People can find out more about them at geekcruises.com. They are so great.
And soon there'll be some Yui stuff on that site. Actually, I think there's a little bit already that you can go to when you see on the brochure side. We're actually using some Yui stuff in there already.
All right, Randall, have a great time and on the cruise, and we'll talk to you when we get back. We'll have more Floss Weeklies for you.
Thanks, Leo.